Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, Hokie Nation, into episode 2 of the Pete DeMora podcast. We record on Thursday, March 21st, 2024. I'm in Blacksburg. Coach DeMora is on his way to Tuscaloosa. Coach, thanks again for hopping on. We really appreciate it.
You got it, Carter. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So since the last time we talked, it was last week. I was in D.C. and you were in Blacksburg gearing up for a trip to Charlotte. You guys are 6-1. You've won 14 of 15. And you're 24-4-1. You're also 9-0 in the ACC now. How would you evaluate where you're at this point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, we're playing well. You know, we're pitching well, fielding pretty good on all of defense, and then swinging the bats well. So I think the exciting thing is we haven't really – I haven't think we peaked yet. We're still getting better, so that's the exciting thing for me.
Well, you turn around after that loss to Charlotte and you sweep Pitt with 2-run rule victories, 18-0, 8-4, and 9-0. What are your overall takeaways from that series?
Yeah, we just took care of business. You know, I hate to be cliche about it, but, you know, we swung the bats well. We were disciplined, swung the strikes, took our walks. And then our pitchers, you know, they threw well, had good velocity, good spins. And got out. So that's the name of the game. Just hit the wins and move on.
So you guys outscored them 35-4. Does that stand out to you at all, or is it just a number?
I hate to sound boring. It doesn't really stand out. I just, you know, the thing with when you have a big lead, you kind of feel better about things. But yeah, I just 18 runs the first game, I think, and then you just try to do it the next game and then the next and then the next and you know, string a bunch of good wins together. So yeah, I don't really think about it too much. It's more of how do the at bats go each at bat, you know, and so you just add a bunch together and hopefully at the end you score more runs.
11 home runs over the weekend, 6 home runs yesterday in the win over Maryland Eastern Shore. You have 65 on the year, also just a little over 2 a game. That's the second best in the country. I know that's part of your MO, but do you ever take a step back and I guess truly appreciate what's going on with your club?
Yeah. Behind closed doors, I do. You know, it's you look at our offensive numbers and I think the thing is you're satisfied that what you do when you help these kids is working, you know? And so if it didn't work, you blow it up and try something else. But you know, the kids work hard in practice. And they swing hard, and practices are hard. I said it a lot of times. Our BP is not easy, and some of the funky stuff I do in practice is it can be a little bit daunting, but it pays off. You know, you check out the stat sheet, and it's paying off. So we're doing it.
Is there a competition on the team right now? Like, who's going to hit the most home runs? Is that kind of a thing going around?
I don't think so. I think everybody's happy when we hit one over 10. So. I think the competition mostly happens in practice, you know, and we're trying to beat each other in certain aspects. So I think that's where the competition part comes in is in practice, but in games, they're just happy for everybody.
Well, we talked about the girls, but for you, is there ever a day where like the wind's blowing out and you're looking out, like let's say at home, you're looking out at the flags out in left facing lane and it's blowing out and you're just thinking to yourself, oh boy, today's going to be our, does that ever happen to you?
I try to stay away from that because next thing you know, we got a bunch of infield pop-ups. But I did tell the girls yesterday before the game, if you hit a ball on the ground in today's game, you have extra laps. And Emma Ritter proceeded to hit a two-hopper through the infield the first at bat. Can't be too mad about that. But, yeah, I mean, just you let the wind obviously it's going to help you, but just try to square balls up in the air and see what happens.
We mentioned the 65 homers, but you guys have only given up 18. So what is that kind of, I know the home runs is definitely what gets the attention, but what does that kind of say about the balance you guys have as a team?
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. When the pitchers are throwing well, it's a little bit less pressure on the offense. And when the offense is hitting well, it's a little less pressure on the pitching. But, you know, the thing that gets overlooked is how well our pitchers have been throwing. You know, it's everybody sees the home run numbers, and we're at the top of the country in strikeouts for pitchers. And so the last month or so, our pitching has been really exceptional. And so it takes a lot. Like I said, it takes pressure off the offense. It takes pressure off the pitchers when both are going well.
I was actually going to ask about that, because for me, it does appear like it's completely going under the radar just because of what you guys are doing offensively. I mean, I think you're averaging around 9 runs a game recently, last couple games, which is really cool to see. Flipping back to the Pitt series real fast, because I got us off track, but obviously early in the year, you guys lost Rachel Castine, so somebody had to step up. And, you know, a lot of the time we've seen Annika Rose, and this weekend against the Panthers, we saw Tegan Thrunk, who homered and also had 5 RBIs. How important has that been to see someone continuously step up in that spot throughout the year?
Yeah, I mean, both those young ladies have done well at the position. And, you know, when Rachel went down, unfortunately, those kids behind her kept working. And so that hard work and practice allowed them to have the opportunity to play in the game. And so so I tell the kids all the time, I don't know when your opportunity is coming, but just keep working. And the hard work gives you get your foot in the door. And so when there is an opportunity, you're ready for it. And both Ani and Tegan were ready.
I'm going to give you a typical like media type question here, because I know people have been asking about it. And actually, I was checking the softball message boards, which I know you don't check, but a lot of people are wanting to ask me about Rachel. Do you think you have any timetable for her and maybe when she may be back this year?
No, we don't. Still day to day with her. Seeing slight improvements, but it's nothing more to add, really.
Sure. Sounds good. No, I think that's totally fair. Along the lines of Tegan and Annika and so on and so forth, like, you guys have, what, probably 13, 14 young ladies that we see in the lineup relatively consistently, but there's only 9 spots. So is there ever a time where you're penciling in the lineup and you're going through what you guys are going to do and you're like, man, I wish we could bat 12, like in slow pitch softball or e-ball? Does that ever, I guess, thought occur to you?
Yeah, you like to know. To give opportunities to every kid on your team, because they work so hard in practice that, you know, you'd like for them to play. And so just got to keep reiterating it. We're hunting wins, whether you get in or you don't, the win is most important. But yeah, it's the one thing that when you are deep is you're able to do some kind of matchups offensively. You know, the kid really hits the rise ball and, you have a rise ball pitcher, then you put her in and somebody hits the drop, and the other kid doesn't hit the rise, then you're able to mix and match that way. So, but it's just keep working hard. And like I said a little bit ago, just your opportunities will come, and you know, just always be ready for them.
So you guys then get a long one on Tuesday and you sweep a doubleheader. And I know you said you maybe didn't play your best brand of softball, but you know, obviously a solid day when you win 2 games. What are kind of your first thoughts from that one?
Yeah, you know, Longwood traditionally they're always good, you know, and they play hard and they're coached well. And it's a sneaky environment to play in, you know. And so, yeah, we got down in game 1 and we battled back. And, you know, this we kept fighting. You know, there's never any loss of intensity in our team. So, I think to start, we were kind of lackadaisical as far as I just kind of did it myself, but little lackadaisical start, but then we flipped the switch and we're back to how we usually play.
Is it kind of cool to play elsewhere in the state and give Hokie Nation that are maybe a little closer to that area more opportunities to see y'all play?
Yeah, it's cool. You know, especially in Farmville, there's a lot of our fans there, and you know, it's a fun environment to play in. Liberty's the same. You know, so wherever we go in the state, we have a good following, and you have a good following, as you know, at home. So, yeah, it's fun to play in front of in front of enthusiastic fans.
I wish that a program like ODU or William & Mary had a program so y'all could go out to the 757 too, just because I know there's a lot of Hokies out there and a lot of Hokie softball fans in that area too. So it's cool to see y'all go on the road and get those opportunities. But Emma Limley earned the save in game one that day. Nearly four perfect innings, didn't surrender a hit. Obviously was really good against Pitt as well. What has kind of clicked for her as of late?
Well, I think she's just cleaner right now. I mean, I think her rhythm is good. Her velocity's up, spinning the ball really well, attacking hitters. She's just kind of locked in right now.
Then you guys finished the midweek with Maryland Eastern Shore. And I guess you guys were trying to hit Coach Beamer's number with the lucky 25.
I didn't think about that.
No, that was fun to watch. Fun game to watch. I guess anytime you can break the largest margin of victory record by seven runs and set the program record for runs in a game, it's a pretty good day at the office, I assume.
Yeah, we took care of business. We got a lot of kids in, swung the bats well. Just it was a good day for us. And the cool thing, and I mentioned this yesterday after the game, was we had two kids catch for us that haven't caught yet this year, and they did awesome. So that's what I keep preaching it. They were ready when their number was called, and that only happens when you work hard practice.
Is it good to get a game like that every now and then, where you can work more individuals into a game and get them ready for a potential opportunity down the line?
Yeah. I mean, you're playing a Division I game, and so you got some kids in there that haven't played a lot, and they got experience, So took some positives out of yesterday. And, I look at it as, people are saying it's 25-0. I get that. But it's also the alternative is to practice. And so did we get more out of yesterday than we would as a practice? And I think we did. So, it's a plus for us.
Well, we talked about Michelle Chatfield last week. Good reason as well. Three homers yesterday in the win over the Hawks. I guess I asked you why she got to Virginia Tech and why is she having success last week, but I'll pivot this week and say, how cool is it to see her continuing to have success in her freshman season?
Yeah, it's awesome. And that's the thing is with Michelle, she didn't have the type of Michelle game on Tuesday. And we worked together yesterday before the game, and she's really quick to make adjustments. I saw one thing in her swing, and hey, let's try this today. Okay, I'll do it. No questions asked. Just I'll try it, and paid off for her. So hopefully, and that's how softball goes. You're never going to be perfect every weekend. And so, how quick can you get back to your normal self after you're struggling a little bit? And yesterday, she proved that she could do it pretty quick.
So you guys are going to Tuscaloosa this weekend. We mentioned you're currently en route to the great state of Alabama, day with the Crimson Tide. You've been around softball for a long time. You coached in the SEC for a long time as well at Mizzou. From the outside looking in, what has always been your view of Alabama as a softball program?
Well, they're a blue blood. They're one of the best programs in the country, and they have been for a long time. And so I have a lot of respect for their coaching staff, how they play. Going to their environment, Rose Stadium is a hard place to play in. And I probably played 15 games there in my career. And it's just a hard place to play. It's two teams that are going to battle it out. It's good for us to have the opportunity to do this in a bye weekend.
I was going to say, we were talking about it the other day. Great atmospheres in the ACC. You mentioned Florida State and Clemson. You've been around the SEC. I assume Bama kind of ranks at the top with their history and in the atmosphere down there.
I think I don't have any dog in the hunt in the SEC, but I would think their fans and the fan base and their stadium atmosphere is the top of the league. I think they sold out their season tickets in like 20 minutes. there'll be close to 4,000 people there, and just don't see that at a lot of softball stadiums. So it's been that way for 15 years. So it's a good environment to play in, like I said.
This is your second trip down there as the head coach at Virginia Tech. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Second trip down there. Okay. Well, that'll be fun for the Hokies. What are your first thoughts on them as a team, Alabama?
Well, I think their offense is pretty stout 1 through 9. They're always going to play good defense. They're going to play hard. Their pitching is good. Their transfer kid they got from I think Central Arkansas. She's legit. So yeah, they're a good team. It'll be a good challenge for us.
You mentioned the bye week. Do you like how these games are scheduled, kind of placed in the middle of conference play?
Yes and no. Just another chance to get RPI games, you know. But I don't know who the genius was that scheduled 3 games in the midweek. It was me. But this week is kind of a grind for us, you know, and a lot of travel. But, you know, I'm 44 and these kids are 18 to 23, so I think they can handle it.
I guess it helps when you guys are also 9-0 in league play. You're like, all right, I can get this opportunity to go out there and boost the RPI and play a potential contender to go to OKC. Would I maybe be correct saying that when you're 9-0, it helps out a little bit?
Yeah, it helps. You know, if nothing else, the record's good. And so where we're sitting right now, we feel comfortable. But, you know, had we been 500 right now, it'd still be a good weekend for us. So, you know, there's really no downside to coming down here.
That'll be a good one. That'll be a good one. Got some fun questions for you. So we mentioned you guys are on the bus, right? Are you on the bus right now? Because when I pulled up the Zoom just a minute ago, it looked like you're on the bus right now.
Yeah, we are.
Cool.
Actually, we're driving separate.
Okay.
Coaches, we had something to do this morning, so we're chilling on the bus.
Gotcha. No, I saw. I was like, I wonder if they're on the bus, but I guess I'll stick to this question because I'm curious to hear this. What is a bus ride like with Virginia Tech softball?
I don't know. I'm not on the bus very often. You know, we take rental cars and follow the bus. And so I think it's good for everybody. I'm not, you want to do karaoke and all that stuff on the bus, and I don't have to listen to it. So I think it's loose. From what I see, a lot of studying going on, a lot of sleeping, you know, they're pretty relaxed on the bus. So, yeah, it's a good atmosphere on there.
Favorite pit stop on the road? Are you a big, like, Buc-ee's guy?
Oh, shoot. Well, I've morphed into a Buc-ee's guy because every time I go in there, I have to get my son something. So we just passed the Buc-ee's and we didn't stop, so we might have to make a trip on the way back. But, you know, the thing about Buc-ee's is it's so efficient. There's a 10 million people in there, and you get in and out like it's like there's 3. So I'm not that anti-Buc-ee's anymore.
Okay. I went to a Buc-ee's for the first time in November when we were going to LSU for women's basketball, and I was a big fan. It was actually down in Auburn where you guys were a couple weeks ago. We went to that because we were at Auburn for men's basketball and then went to Baton Rouge. So I enjoyed it. More bus questions. Are you a big movie guy, or do you like to play some tunes while you're on the bus?
Yeah, we're mostly tunes in our rental car. And
gotcha.
Coach Mamo is the one that kind of runs the aux for us. So a lot of saxophone music, which I'm growing to like, and Coach Johnson does not like that. So
okay.
We played even more. So it's more music, not many movies.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's a nice little vibe if you're working on some things for the weekend. Speaking of the weekend, the women's team's in action. Obviously, some tough news officially with Liz Kitley, but how often are you able to keep up with what they're doing and the success that they've had the past 2 years?
Yeah, we watch all the time. And I know we were at Louisville and the ladies were playing conference tournament. We had it on in the banquet room and most of the girls were in there watching. So, yeah, we're big fans.
Nice. I love it. So, okay. Interesting story time, I guess, for you, as much as you want to go into it. So the other day we were having a meeting with Evan Hughes and he was talking about his sophomore year, I think is what he said. He called his first Virginia Tech softball game and it was the Hokies in North Carolina. And he said, you got thrown out. So I just wanted to ask this question because I'm old school baseball guy for me. Like I enjoy watching guys get thrown out across baseball and softball. Do you have any fun stories with that? Like, I guess when you're thrown out, do you try to, do you like to be a little bit more emphatic or whatever? I don't think you enjoy getting thrown out, but what's kind of it like,
no.
I guess, to go through that?
Yeah, I think I've been tossed three times. The most dramatic one was at regionals a couple years ago against Kentucky. But a good story is my first one of my first years at Kennesaw State, we were playing it at Lipscomb, and we were up on Sunday, and there was rain coming in, so we were up, I don't know, 5-2, something like that. The rain was coming, and they put the tarp on the field, and we're sitting there, and it's like an hour, and we're looking on the radar, and there's probably, you know, a window of, I don't know, an hour or so we could get the game in. And they pulled the tarp, and their pitcher was warming up, and he went down to sit in their dugout after she was done warming up, and there was no umpires around. And so I'm looking for the umpires, and one of the umpires is in the press box. So I went down and waved my hands, and I said, "Hey, come on down. It's, we're ready to play." And he said, "Coach, they're going to let me know when we're ready to play." And I said, "Really not how it happened. We're ready now." And he goes, "Warning." I said, "Warning? We're not playing." So my first warning ever as a head coach was during a rain delay. So, yeah, I managed to end the game and be in the dugout, but that was a funny situation.
That's an interesting story. I like that. You mentioned the regional one. That was awesome because I remember I was at that game, and I remember it was the regional final against Kentucky. Is that right?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So I remember that happened. And then I remember you went to the indoor and then you tweeted during the game, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I did. That was a hard one because I was watching on TV. It was on delay. So plays happened. Ritter robbed a home run in right field. So I heard in the whole stands, you know, all the fans going crazy. I didn't know what it happened until like 5 seconds later. So it was hard to watch, but people don't know. I stayed in the indoor until I heard the crowd again, and I knew we had won. I just sprinted down there, and it was that was cool. That was just it was hard not to be with the team, but I was there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Just want to finish with a couple more softball ones to round it out. You mentioned how good Alabama is. Their team ERA is 1.43. What is the key to success for your girls this week against this pitching staff?
Well, our keys to success don't change whether we're playing Longwood, Maryland Eastern Shore, or Alabama. You know, we have to control the strike zone as hitters, swing strikes, and go for a strike to make them put the ball in play. And that's pretty much it for us. I say it every game. Those are the three keys for us. It's control the strike zone, throw strikes, play catch. If we can do that, we got a good chance to get there.
And then last one for you. So Hokie Nation can watch this one on, I believe it's on SEC Network Plus. For those watching back at home in Blacksburg and elsewhere around either the Commonwealth or the country, what is your final message for Hokie Nation this weekend?
Yes, just cheer us on. We're playing well right now. So, you know, our kids really, really appreciate all the fan base that we have. And hope you.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate the time so much. Best of luck this weekend down in Tuscaloosa, and we'll be rooting you on.
You got it, Carter. Have a good weekend.